go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 2 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. This morning I'm directing your attention, of course, over to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. To me, these kind of times that we are in really require for us to go back to our Bibles. It is funny how we are when everything's going well. Sometimes we let that slip, that Bible reading thing. But it is very important because it is the Word of God that gives us the vision that we need for the day in which we live. A lot of times people are wondering what's going on. And sadly, when it comes right down to it, in our heart of hearts, we're not really sure where to look in our Bibles. We ought to be teachers by now, Paul said to the Hebrews. He said, you ought to be teachers by now, not just going and getting milk all the time. So each of us should know our Bibles well enough to navigate, just like you know the lay of the land in Mansfield, Ontario, Shelby, all the areas. You know all the back roads. You know the nice places to eat. Remember when we used to go to a restaurant to eat? That was a good day. But you know all these things, you know, and it should be like that with our Bibles. And for many people, people are wondering what's happening and what's going on. And is this it? Is the Lord coming? And I just want to tell you, yeah, He is. Okay, He's coming. And it won't be long now as I see it, because the Word of God makes it pretty clear that when we see certain things happening, we can look up. We can begin to anticipate that His soon return is upon us. And so today, I want to take you to this passage, and I want you to know something about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's a passage that deals with Christ and the Antichrist. And that's really important for us to know, because this is one of those definitive passages, like Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Faith. It's a definitive passage. And I want you to know, too, that when you go through it, you begin to get what you might call is a little roadmap or a pattern of how things are going to unfold. The Bible says in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now this passage is very important in setting up what is really being addressed by the Thessalonians. They were going through a great deal of difficulty. The persecution was afoot. There was afflictions. There was trials. And it was becoming really dangerous to be a Christian in their day. They began to look at that, and then somebody began to circulate a letter in their midst, and they began to say that what was happening was they were in the midst of the tribulation. That this was the tribulation, they were told. And then it was signed, the Apostle Paul. That's why he says in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken by letter as from us. It's interesting because this is what happens when people begin to let go of their Bibles. May I just say to you, and when you're reading your Bible, remember that the King James Bible should stay forever what I would call the plumb line of all other translations. Now listen, I don't want to be too intense about this, but we have lost our plumb line. That means that you're not comparing your reading of your Bible with other things. It's not wrong for you to have other translations. There's value there. But we need a plumb line. And if you want to go back and find out what's going on, go back to the King James and work from there. And I say that because here is an excellent example of why there's a real problem with translations. In the early 1900s, a thing called textual criticism came around, and they began to really throw aspersions upon the King James Bible. And they began to say, you know, we didn't have a good translation. They found two pieces of manuscripts, and they weren't even complete, folks. The Bible says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. Now, I don't want to go on to this too far, but just let me tell you this. This passage right here says that he beseeches them by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto Him. That's two events. two different events. The first is the coming of the Lord, when He returns to this earth riding upon a white horse, and He wipes out the armies of the Antichrist, and He takes over the world, and He sets up His kingdom. That's the coming. And He says, in our gathering together. Well, that's His coming in the air. One is that He comes and every eye shall see Him. That's the return. And the other is His gathering us together, where in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, we are caught up into the heavens. These are exciting times, folks. What's happening right now is everything's being pushed into a paradigm of evil. It is just that kind of a circumstance that this passage tells us we can anticipate when the Lord Jesus comes. Now, when I say that there's a textual problem, many of the new translations say in verse 2, I don't want you to be shaken or troubled as that the day of the Lord is at hand. That's what the newer translations say, but this says the day of Christ. And the reason they're thinking it's the day of Christ is because the day of Christ is a day of jubilation. It's a day of celebration. It's a day when Jesus sets up His kingdom for 1,000 years. It's the day of Christ. Some of you older guys have probably been known to say, and I've been saying it lately, you know, in our day, this happened. In our day, that happened. And when God's day, the day of the Lord, happens, that's a day of judgment and day of vengeance. You go through your Bible, you look for day of the Lord. If you put the day of the Lord in there, this whole passage becomes really perplexing and becomes a parable. Now, may I tell you this? Paul did not speak in parables. He wasn't trying to do what Jesus did. He was writing to churches. He was letting the truth be known to churches, and he was very concise. All the time, he's not speaking in parables. He's wanting us to know that these people thought they were in the tribulation and that it was only a little while and Jesus would return and come back, and that somehow they were in the tribulation and they misunderstood. Now, he had spent time teaching them this stuff, and they should have known better. They're not in the tribulation. Can't happen. And he tells them why. The Bible says in verse 3 that the day of Christ, verse 2, is at hand. He says, that's not true. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. If you want to put in your margin right there the word apostasy, you would be well served. The word apostasy is a Greek, it's kind of what they call a transliteration of a Greek word, which means they just put English letters to a Greek word, okay? It's apostasia. It comes from a compound word, apo, which means away from, and stasia, which we get the word static. Static electricity. It means standing electricity. Okay? Apostasia, or apostasy, means that there is a standing away from the truth. How powerful is that? You see that anywhere in the world today? I mean, do you see the churches falling away from the truth? Do you see apostasy in the church? I mean, I'm just asking you. You have to answer the question. I mean, if you read things and if you listen to things and you see how things are going, I mean, we're getting into some pretty difficult times. The ordaining of certain people who are involved in clearly unbiblical behaviors. Not only of that, but also the solemnizing of marriages that are not marriages at all. We're living in a day of apostasy. We've got people who are telling us that it is okay to do things the Bible says it is not okay to do. This is crazy down here when you think about it. But thank God for those who are out there standing for truth, standing on the Word of God, and preaching and staying by the stuff. But do not be so maybe naive, if you will, as to think that there's not going to be this kind of a thing going on. You remember when Elijah felt like he was the only one. It's very easy to feel like that sometimes because it's hard to fellowship with everybody all at the same time. And when people are working, sometimes they're not aware of other people. But he was told, no, there were 6,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal, so he was encouraged. But nevertheless, it was a hard time. And there will be those who stand by the stuff. And whenever you go to church, wherever you go to church, whenever you worship, wherever you worship, make sure you're there where the Word of God is honored and put above and over everything that is done in that church. We need that to be a constant in our experience as we worship the Lord and as we follow Him. The Bible says the day of Christ can't come, first of all, except there come an apostasy, a falling away from the standard. That's very important for us today to be aware of and not be scared of, because actually we're in the midst of it. And when he was writing this, they were not in the midst of it. Do you remember Acts, where Paul told the Ephesian elders as he was heading back to Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to go through some very difficult persecutions, and he was even going to go to Caesar's throne. He knew nothing but bonds and chains were waiting for him. And he was telling the elders of all those churches in Ephesus, he was saying, listen guys, he says, I told you that when I go, there's going to be ravenous wolves come up in your midst, and they're not going to spare the flock. And he says, you need to just be strong in the Lord and continue to shepherd the flock that God's made you overseers of. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that when you see him telling them that, that was like, you know, when Elijah said it's going to rain, go look and see, and they saw a cloud like the size of a man's hand, okay? And finally, after he prayed for a while, and then it became a regular torrential rain downpour. Well, we're in the rain downpour now, okay? They're way back 2,000 years ago. We're living in the apostasy. That's what we're doing. And so I just want you to get your mind around that contextually, that these people were very early on. He says, wait a minute, guys. You're not close to the day of Christ because you haven't seen the apostasy first. The church was on the ascension, really, at that time. And now we're declining in many ways. The Bible says that there must come apostasy first and that man of sin be revealed. So this is another clue as to why this is not talking about the rapture that they're worried about coming and the day of the Lord coming, because the man of sin is not revealed before the rapture. Okay, he's not revealed before the Lord comes and gets his church. That's just not how that works, okay? What happens is that the man of sin actually makes an agreement with Israel, and he says, we'll protect you. After the rapture, he makes that agreement, and for 7 years, he's telling them he's going to protect them. But in the midst of the 7 years, he breaks that covenant, and he goes in and sits down in the Holy of Holies and declares that he's God and demands that everybody worships him. So when you read this, it makes perfect sense if you understand that they think they're in the tribulation. So he mentions, first of all, you got to have an apostasy. Secondly, if you were anywhere near the time when the Lord Jesus was going to return to the earth physically and set up his kingdom, if we were at the day of Christ, if we were near that, the Antichrist would be clear to all who he is. He says, we're nowhere near it. And the Bible then expands upon this Antichrist. Now, before I go further, I want to back up just a little bit and give you a couple of things you can put in your notes if you take them, or if you review this later on, you know, the internet or whatever. In the book of Philippians, we see the day of Christ mentioned a number of times. And I think that's very important for us because it gives us a context for what the day of Christ is all about. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, 10, and chapter 2, verse 16, it's mentioned. Paul says this in Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means he's looking for a good day, okay? A good day. What's the day of Jesus? It's when he comes with his bride. Everybody's applauding and oohing and aahing like they do at weddings. And so we're looking at a good day. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice, listen, in the day of Christ. If you want to know whether the day of Christ is a day of rejoicing, there you have it.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.